Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Well, the St. John's dream is over, and I feel like so is mine. My dream of having Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback of the New York Giants while they also draft a young quarterback is over with the addition of Jameis Winston. Now, I know they signed him to a two-year, $4 million a year contract, and with incentives, it could be double that, but I don't think he's going to reach those incentives. And I know that's less money than Drew Lock, and I know that that is backup quarterback money. And I know that they had to do something, right? They had to have a quarterback in the room as they start to get closer to this. And it doesn't necessarily preclude them from other things. And clearly, I think this means they're going to draft a quarterback. But to me, I was listening to Art Stapleton with Lori as I was coming in. And he said that if Jameis Winston starts games, that means something went wrong. I don't know. I think it's a lock that he starts games. I don't see Russell Wilson coming in now. I don't see Aaron Rodgers coming in now. I don't think it's any coincidence that Aaron Rodgers spent all day Friday at the Pittsburgh Steelers facility, and then Friday night, the New York Giants signed Jameis Winston. I think they were playing the waiting game, and I think they heard that they were going to lose said game, and so they decided to go with Jameis Winston. And I think now it's Jameis Winston and drafting a quarterback, and we'll see what quarterback that is. I don't think the Giants are going to be able to move up to one. That's still my hope, is that they're able to move up and get Cam Ward. And then I hope Shedeur Sanders falls to three. But whatever the case may be, there's going to be a young quarterback in this room, and then there's going to be Jameis Winston. And I've talked about Jameis Winston a lot. And, you know, he is, to me, the second best option behind Aaron Rodgers to be the veteran presence for the Giants, for the young quarterback. I still believe that. And I know that he does have situations in his past, bad ones. He's been accused of sexual assault. He's been accused of, you know, inappropriate behavior with a Uber driver. There was the issue with, you know, stealing from the grocery store or whatever with the crab legs. Like, that one's a little bit less severe than the previous two. So there's a lot of baggage with him. And I don't take that lightly. It's many years ago. He's played for many teams since then, and we haven't heard anything in a while. The Giants obviously have had situations with players who have done things before. I'm sure they vetted this process. I think it's something that's going to have to be asked of this organization, but we'll see how it actually plays out. But as far as what we get for the player, what the Giants get as the player, I do think he's the best player. We talked about this. And what I'm tired of, or what I don't agree with, is this thought of, at least it'll be fun. Winning is fun. I've always been a proponent of this. Winning is fun. Losing is not. Right? We've heard this a lot with a bunch of different teams. Even the Yankees, right? The Yankees might win, but they're boring. That's the problem. Like, we heard that a couple years ago. The Yankees are winning, I know, and then they go on these long stretches of losing as well. But the Yankees have this winning season, 90-plus games. Yeah, but they're boring. The offense is boring. It's not. Winning is fun. Losing sucks. And there is no fun losing. Right? There is no fun losing. There might be a little bit of a boring winning. Maybe that's possible. I find that ridiculous. I'll win boring all day long. But, you know, the Yankees don't score runs. They're boring. It's boring, too. It's bad. It's not fun to watch. Okay, would you rather score 7 runs in a game but give up 8? You want to see the bullpen blow a game on a nightly basis? Because that's not fun either. And the same thing with the New York Giants. The idea that Jameis Winston is going to make me, you know, dance for joy because they're scoring points while they're losing, it's not. It's not. I don't care about fun. What I do care about is there are ways of developing the team and making the team better for the future while you lose. It's not about fun. It's not about entertainment. It's not about what I want to watch. It really isn't. I understand it is entertainment. I understand it's a business. I understand we're customers. I understand I'm supposed to enjoy this thing. I get that. Watching Jameis Winston play, I've never felt like, ooh, let's turn on the Tampa Bay Bucs game because that Jameis Winston is fun to watch. Oh, let's watch the Browns like last year. Ooh. I know the Browns suck, but yeah, let's focus on this Browns game on my Sunday NFL package because Jameis Winston's just a blast to watch. Like, I never felt that way. I don't know why we're even saying it. It's dumb. But what I do agree with is he slings it. And I'm not talking about for fun. I'm talking about for developing the team. I'm talking about bringing in a quarterback who Brian Daboll can help get the ball down the field. And it's not because I want to see it because I like to see it. It's not because I want to see it because it makes me smile. I want to see them throw the ball down the field because big plays win you football games. And big plays are necessary in today's NFL offenses. And you can't dink and dunk forever. You got to attack down the field. And Jameis Winston is fearless in attacking down the field. And I think that Malik Nabers will benefit from it. Not because I'm going to benefit from it, but Malik Nabers will benefit from it. Not because you as a Giant fan going to the game can have your beers and eat your chili and do your tailgating knowing at least, oh, we're going to see the ball thrown down the field. I want it because I think it's what's best for the team and what I think is what's best for the development of these young wide receivers. And actually have a quarterback go down the field, score points is important to the development of the team. And I think that's better than Russell Wilson, who I don't think that has it in him anymore and is more of a game manager and looks, you know, a couple reads and tucks it and runs and does whatever he can. And, like, I just don't see that same ability. He will stand back in the pocket, stare down the rush, and throw it down the field. That's what we know Jameis Winston will do. And I think that's what's best. So for me, I know he's making backup money and they got to do something. And they felt like it finally. And what it feels like to me is Aaron Rodgers clearly was with Pittsburgh. They've got some indication that he's not coming, and they got to a number low enough with Jameis Winston where they're like, we'll pull this trigger, and then if Aaron Rodgers changes his mind or if something else breaks, we could still go do something because Jameis is at a number that makes us comfortable. So that it feels like both Aaron Rodgers spending all day in Pittsburgh as well as Jameis Winston signing for less than Drew Lock. While you know the young quarterback is coming in the draft, it felt like, let's lock in, make sure we get a veteran. Best case scenario, we could still upgrade that veteran. Worst case scenario, I know we're going to sling it. And the other thing is Brian Daboll, to me, if you look at Brian Daboll's 3 years here, and you look at the pros and cons, and obviously after year one, we thought it was full of pros, and since, it's been mostly cons. But to me, the biggest thing that Brian Daboll was able to achieve as head coach of the New York Giants was he turned the turnover machine of Daniel Jones into the least turned over quarterback in the league. Now, I also think it zapped him of some confidence. I think it zapped him of some aggression. It zapped him of some, he just became, you know, paralyzed with fear to go down the field. I don't think you can do that with Jameis Winston. But if Brian Daboll, who famously got in the face of Daniel Jones, week one, game one of his tenure as New York Giants head coach, after a terrible red zone interception against Tennessee, got in Daniel Jones' face. And from that moment on, Daniel Jones didn't turn the football over after leading the world in turnovers, both fumble and interceptions. If he could get Jameis Winston, if he can do what the Lord hasn't been able to do yet and deliver Jameis Winston from pick sixes, you are talking about a legitimate quarterback in this league. I don't think there's any doubt. Jameis Winston, if he's able to limit the turnovers, becomes a top half of the league quarterback. I honestly believe that. I've always believed that. Not just because he's wearing a Giants uniform. I've always believed that's the talent that Jameis Winston has. He's thrown, 30 touchdown passes in a season, but he throws 30 interceptions. So I think, for me, both on the field, clearly, you're going to go down the field. Malik Nabers should have a big-time year. You've got the speed of Slayton. You've got the shiftiness of Wandell Robinson. You've got a tight end prospect in Theo Johnson. You've got a young running back in Tracy. Hopefully, you've got an offensive line that's going to improve with a healthy Thomas and Illuminor locking down right tackle. I honestly believe that Jameis Winston on the field with Brian Daboll in this offense can be successful at scoring points. And can they limit the turnovers? If they do, the Giants offense has a chance to be dynamic with him. With I don't think they have a chance of being dynamic with anyone else besides Aaron Rodgers. And then when it comes to developing the young quarterback, yes, he's got a checkered past. I talked about his issues. Obviously, some of them are of, heinous accusations. He hasn't been convicted of anything. It's been years since. People can change. I don't know. He's been through a bunch of different teams in the NFL. And I do think that he connects with teammates better than Russell Wilson. And I think he's got experience as a quote-unquote failed first overall pick to be able to communicate with a young, whether it's, whether they draft him at third overall, first overall, later in the first round, top of the second round, there's going to be pressure of being the next guy for the New York Giants. And Jameis Winston has a real life experience with that, where Russell Wilson was a fourth round pick who played excellent in camp and took over a job from a high-priced veteran in Flynn. It's a different, unique perspective. I do think it's something that I could benefit the young kid. Plus, he connects with the players far better than Russell Wilson does. And I just think it's the best option for the New York Giants. Now, could they still bring in Russell Wilson to compete with him? I suppose that's possible. I don't think you'd bring in Aaron Rodgers and just have him as a backup, because Aaron Rodgers is going to be the starter. You sign him. I could see a competition between Wilson and Jameis Winston, whatever the contract is for Russell Wilson. I could still see a competition. I don't see a competition with Aaron Rodgers. I would think that is dead. To me, this is it. I wouldn't expect another quarterback. I wouldn't. I think they got him at a low number. They can spend money at other places. You're going to draft a quarterback. You'll have Tommy DeVito as your second string guy or your third string guy, depending on it. You have Jameis Winston as your starting quarterback. And at some point this year, you will go to the drafted quarterback, whether it's Ward, Sanders, Jackson Dart, or anybody else. But I don't think, I think people are confused because it's $4 million. I understand that's backup money. I just don't see them adding another veteran that's out there right now that's better to be a starter. I don't think Russell Wilson is going to come here now, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to come here. I think this move was made when they had the idea that he wasn't coming here. So I don't care how much money it is. I just can't see another quarterback coming in. Maybe I'm wrong. To me, it's start of the year. The starting quarterback for the New York Giants is Jameis Winston, with a young kid backup. And at some point this season, Aaron Rodgers, it was probably the whole year. With Jameis Winston, unless they're really winning at a high level, which I don't expect, I would think at some point this year, much like the Eli Manning era, you are going to see them give way to the young quarterback at some point this season. So the Jameis Winston thing to me was just a matter of the waiting game with Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't the waiting. It was they got the indication Aaron Rodgers isn't coming. They had to have something. And Jameis Winston was willing to go to them for such a number that it was just too good. It was too good to pass up. But we'll see. Everyone tells me, I was listening to Connor Hughes, listening to Mike Garofalo, listening to Art Stapleton, or reading or watching their clips, everyone thinks this doesn't preclude them from anything. Aaron Rodgers still on the table. Whether he wants to be a Giant or not, it's a different conversation. And listen, if he calls them tomorrow and says, I want to be a Giant, I guess it could still happen. I just think that this whole thing happened because they got the indication he doesn't want to be a Giant. But I'm still told Aaron Rodgers is still on the table. They can still go get Russell Wilson. They can still do anything. They better draft a quarterback. That's the plain and simple truth of it. I've been saying this forever. This makes absolutely no sense to me if they don't draft a quarterback. I mean, I guess I don't have a better option here, but the Giants have to draft a quarterback. For all you haters of the quarterback situation, they have to draft somebody. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, how's it going? See you, Mac.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, and I think this is a great season for St. John's. You look at past, a lot of us older fans, and I'm not saying disrespect us, but we've been through emotions with Mullins, and that year, my son went to the Rhode Island game last minute and got a ticket. It was emotionally great. What, are we going to beat Duke? We're not going to beat Duke. We're going to beat Tennessee.
Well, Duke has looked incredible, yeah.
Wait. Why can't you give us, because the other callers, I mean, the other hosts, Lori, they let us talk. There's a lot of older people that say, you don't give us the time to talk. We've been through, I'm 70 years, you're 40. And I feel disrespected. You let somebody else that's talking, they're talking garbage. I love the show, but you disrespected our experience.
Oh, come on.
Our fanhood, what we went through. I'm 70, we have a lot of vets, and I'm not going to call anymore because I feel disrespect. You and Lugie, I get Lori talking, they let us talk. You guys, I'm 70 years old, I see stuff in your rearview mirror you don't even know about. And you don't let us feel what we feel. We've had pain, and now this is a great season. And you're saying about win. The win was emotionally there. Now, I just want to talk because I know a lot of guys that felt like you guys are talking stuff. You haven't even been where we've been. And we stuff it, and now we have a great year. Kids like it. All right, you're talking about the wins. We weren't going to win the damn tournament. Why can't we say this is a plus season, Mac? I feel like you don't let us talk.
Now you're making two arguments.
Can we let Laura talk all the time? You don't let us talk, and
I don't know why you feel that way, Ralph.
I feel really disrespected.
You feel disrespected.
I know a lot of stuff. I've been coaching, and you're saying stuff. I think I respect you.
When did I say I don't respect you, Ralph?
Well, you get on, because
we have different opinions.
You say it about the monkeys, and you cut me off right away. You let these other guys talk for hours, and I got guys that are very. I don't let anyone talk for hours. And I'm telling you this, we're very disrespected, and you and Lugie are pissing us off because I respect you. You don't give us respect. I've been around in a really.
Ralph, I'm letting you say you don't respect me.
I think stuff, Mac, and I'm really, really. You cut us off like in 2 seconds. The other black the guys, Lori, let's just talk, and they enjoy our experiences. Why can't you bring that into the show instead of making us feel like 2 cents? Well, and that's what I feel like. I'm telling you, Mac, I respect you, but I'm very disappointed in some of the calls I've been up, I've served, and this is something I'm like, I got friends crying. Who are these guys telling you and cutting you off in ways where I've seen you guys that young guys talk, that are talking garbage, and I respect them. You don't have to like me, but you have to respect me.
Yeah, well,
I feel disrespected.
Ralph, can we? I got you. Can we make a point? You keep saying the same thing. It doesn't sound like it, but that's okay. Let's make a point.
Here we go again.
When? You're saying the same thing over and over again. I get it. I should give you more time to talk, but can we talk about something?
I'm done calling, and I love you to death, but go with the young guys. God bless you.
Okay, thank you, Ralph. Make a point. I was just, here we go again. I said, talk about something. And I don't let anybody speak for 2 hours. Look, sometimes you go longer. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes I have other calls. Sometimes we make a point and we move on quickly. If we're talking the monkeys and we're having fun, that only lasts a few minutes. I'm sorry, Ralph. I really don't think I've ever disrespected anybody. Sometimes they're quicker than others. Sometimes I'm short with the calls. I'm not saying I'm not. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I go through them quick. Sometimes I let you speak for a while. Has nothing to do with your age. We talked to monkeys. I remember the conversation about the monkeys. I thought we had like a five or six 7-minute conversation about the Monkees and the Beatles. Like, I don't know why. I remember that call in particular. I thought we had a good call and you talked for a while, Ralph. I mean, you're mad at me for my St. John's take. Let's talk about my St. John's take. I was more than happy to have the St. John's conversation with you. I'm not saying it wasn't a plush year. It was a plush year. I'm just saying that it's hard for me to go right there after this loss. This loss stunk. They didn't play well. Coach didn't coach well. And, you know, Ralph, as you can explain, as you can understand with all your years, college basketball is not the same. College basketball is not the same. They're not building anything here. It's not like that anymore. One, it was either the one and dones, or now it's the portal and the NIL, and guys are coming and going as they please. And it's, you know, Patino's already been on the books talking about not recruiting any high school kids. It's not like they're recruiting young kids, bringing them in here, building a core, letting, like, and that the experience of being in the tournament is going to dramatically help this team moving forward. It's going to be a different team. So call it a plush year if you'd like. And I let you get your complaint out for a long time. You kept saying the same thing. All I was saying is, like, okay, I got it. Now, what would you like to talk about? You didn't want to talk about anything else. Robert in Stamford. What's up, Robert?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
1996.
Yes.
UConn, first Big East championship. Ray Allen, 4-for-17. You think Calhoun was taking him out? No. And what did he do? Just hit.
Robert, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah. I lost you there for the second. Yeah, no, I agree with you. They're not taking him out.
Yeah, and he hit the game winner.
Yeah.
You know, it just mind what happened. But I'm wondering because, I mean, but.
Robert, I'm very sorry. At the risk of disrespecting you, and I hope I'm not, I'm going to have to let you go because your line isn't very good. But I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't know how you don't have your best players in the game, no matter how poorly they're shooting, and it's not like you had a better option. That's the main thing. You didn't have a better option. Rob in Tampa. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, man. I just want to talk about Jameis Winston. So, like, I don't understand the hype that maybe Giants fans have surrounding this guy. Like, oh, he's going to be our savior. He's going to come and, like, win us some games.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
I just don't. I think savior's a bit strong. I haven't heard anyone expecting him to be the savior, but I do think that he can bring some offense if given the opportunity, and if Brian Daboll can, you know, work with him in the right way.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think he kind of stinks. He's been on a bunch of different teams. You know, he's a likable guy. He's a locker room guy. That the team's going to get behind him. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
but like they signed him
for $4 million, Rob. I mean, I think the league, him willing to take that contract, the Giants giving him that contract, I think everything points to the idea that he's not very good.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you that they have no idea what they're doing because they gave Drew Lock last year $5 million.
Correct.
And, you know,
do you think he's better than Drew Lock?
He's 100 times
better than
Drew Lock.
There you go. So they've upgraded the quarterback situation. I'm with you. I think he is way better than Drew Lock, and that's why the contract probably jumped out at them. He was willing to take $4 million a year. Like, I mean, that's the thing. It's $4 million a year. They can still pivot at any moment. Aaron Rodgers calls tomorrow and says, you know what, I've changed my mind. I want to be a Giant. They can still do that. He's making $4 million. That's backup money. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think they make this move without knowing about Aaron Rodgers. But maybe the money got so low at $4 million, they were like, hey, I don't feel good about Aaron Rodgers, but hey, we can't turn down $4 million. Jameis Winston is your backup as worst case scenario. And then you get two veterans in the room with the young quarterback. Like, I suppose, I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm not saying it does preclude them. I understand all the points. I understand Garofolo's point. I understand Connor Hughes' point. I understand the idea that the money in the contract are so low that it's backup money and that, you know, any quarterback, they could still obviously spend a hell of a lot more money on the quarterback position. So theoretically, they could sign a starter, and he's the backup for $4 million a year. There is no doubt. That contract does not preclude them from doing it if it falls in their lap. But to me, I just can't imagine. I'm having a tough time imagining now Aaron Rodgers coming to this team with Jameis Winston on it. I just have a hard time imagining it. Same thing with Russell Wilson. I know they had Fields and Wilson in Pittsburgh competing for a job. I guess theoretically you could have that. That's a weird dynamic. Wilson, a young quarterback drafted, and Jameis Winston all on the same roster. That is a weird, weird room. To me, this is the guy. I think he's the starting quarterback. I don't think there's another veteran QB move coming. Maybe I'm wrong. It's only $4 million. They certainly have money allocated to that position. God knows you spend more money than $4 million at the quarterback position, but I just think this is the guy, and then they're going to bring in the drafted quarterback. John in Hoboken. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going? All right, all right.
All right, all right.
Aaron Rodgers is like dating a go-go dancer. It's never going to work out for anybody. Anyway, the Giants, if they don't get an offensive line, Dan Marino couldn't throw behind that line, okay?
I
mean, these guys were horrendous, and I love the left tackle, but he's a China doll.
He gets hurt.
Yeah, absolutely, every year.
Well, the last two, and I mean, his career's only been, I guess, four or five, so most of his
well,
career,
about
half his career. No, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm saying.
I mean, if he gets hurt this year, he's a bust.
I mean, it's hard to call him a bust when he's good enough to be, you know, he's good enough to get that contract. He's an a Pro Bowl caliber player. If he doesn't
the
get
best
injured,
ability.
No, I know,
what?
But it's just bust wouldn't be the right word because his talent didn't bust. He just got hurt. It's unfortunate more than a bust. But I don't agree with this idea. Like, I heard a caller into Lori earlier, too. It's like, it doesn't matter. Look at the Eagles. They built an offensive line. You got to build an offensive line. Then you worry about the quarterback position. Like, draft every pick an offensive lineman. Like, it's just so dumb. It's just such a dumb thought. I'm sorry. I hate to be blunt and disrespectful. But, like, it's just a dumb thought to think, oh, we'll just draft offensive linemen. They've been drafting offensive linemen. This guy's got the one offensive lineman they've actually hit. The last caller has him as a bust. If Andrew Thomas is a bust, look back at the Giants drafting offensive linemen. Evan Neal, what's Evan Neal if Andrew Thomas is a bust? What's Eric Flowers? What's Will Hernandez? What's Justin Pugh? Like, they've been drafting offensive linemen forever. Like, the idea that you're just going to draft offensive linemen and make it all okay, it's not how it works. And then if you draft the offensive linemen and start winning, who knows what position, or start playing better, who knows what position you'll be in to get the quarterback? When you're the third pick, you have to draft the quarterback. If you don't have one and you're drafting in the top five, you have to figure out a way to get a franchise quarterback. That's it. They can find offensive linemen later in the draft. They can find offensive linemen in free agency, which they did a little bit. They can find offensive linemen via trade before the season starts. Like, there's a myriad of ways. To get offensive linemen in the room. Plus, how about coaching them up? Because I'm telling you, we have seen offensive lines play, you know, fairly well, and they aren't all-star caliber in every position. Like, the Giants need to do a better job of coaching up the offensive line as well. But, I mean, let's be honest. The Cincinnati Bengal offensive line sucks. And Joe Burrow is one of the great quarterbacks in the league. Got sacked 9 times in a playoff game and won that playoff game. And Sanders, in particular, when we look at the drafted quarterbacks, had bad lines at both Jackson State and Colorado running for his life and yet was able to win some games, put up some numbers, and become the second-best quarterback in the draft. It's not the idea, oh, Dan Marino couldn't throw behind this offensive line. He'd figure it out. I get so tired of that argument about the offensive line over and over again. It's no guarantee you fix the offensive line drafting all these people. There's no guarantee you'll be in a position to get a quarterback if you do fix the offensive line. Like, it's almost like everyone thinks it goes both ways. It's like, no quarterback could throw behind this offensive line, and any quarterback could throw behind a good offensive line. It's not how it works. I'd rather have the great quarterback and then try and fix the offensive line. Let's do that.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He has on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. He has still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thinking during the break, if any caller, I was trying to think if I've ever really felt like I was disrespectful to a caller. And not to harp on this, I probably should just stop talking about it, but I will, because hey, we're all a family here. I think the only caller I could think of was Friday, when a guy told me, when he was telling me that Freddie Freeman is a better baseball player than the one-trick pony home run hitting Aaron Judge. Yeah, Fleagle McKenna. Yeah, he called Aaron Judge a one-trick pony who is terrible defensively. Just look at the play he made in the fifth inning, which is something Judge is going to have to live with, that people will say that. But he's bad defensively. He's a one-trick pony. He only hits home runs. And then as we were arguing it, he told me that it's more difficult to hit a single than a home run, and I had to hang up on him. So maybe he should feel disrespected, because I got very annoyed at that call, hung up on him, and then proceeded to kill him for about 7 or 8 minutes. So maybe he should feel disrespected. And feel free to call back.
I kind of wish I was here for that. Freddie, I can only imagine what your reaction was.
Well, listen, I had, for whatever reason, I forget why, the Soto comments that are coming out in Sports Illustrated. We were talking about the Soto comments where he talked about the there are comments coming from the upcoming Sports Illustrated where the Mets are on the cover. And apparently Juan Soto, again, I haven't seen it in writing yet, but it was reported by a bunch of different people that he said something along the lines of, who knows where the Yankees are good now, but who knows where they're going to be in 6 or 7 years, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it was, which I find, patently ridiculous for a franchise that hasn't had a losing season since before Juan Soto was born. Like, the idea that we don't know what they're going to be, fine. I even would be okay with saying I like Steve Cohen and the Mets version of things, or vision of things, and I think they'll be better in 10 years than the Yankees will be. Even that, like, this one team with this owner and this GM, I trusted more than the Yankees. I can disagree, but it's a discussion. The idea that, hey, I can't sign with the Yankees, I don't know what they're going to be like in 7 years. That's ridiculous to me. That's disrespectful to me. That's stupid to me. I think the Dodgers are going to be better in 6 or 7 years. I think the Mets could be better in 6 or 7 years. That's a prerogative. We can argue, we can disagree with it, we can share, we can have a discussion on it. I don't know where the Yankees are going to be. They're going to be where they're always have been. One of the better teams in baseball, with one of the higher payrolls in baseball, and a damn good chance for you to win the damn World Series with them. So then we were talking about, I guess, Soto and Judge, and a couple people called up and said Judge isn't the best offensive player in the game, and who was better? A bunch of different people were better. Freddie Freeman was better. Mookie Betts was better. Ronald Acuna was better. I got a couple of different calls on who was better. But when the Freddie Freeman guy told me that a single is takes more skill than a home run, I had to hang up the phone. That's where I kind of lose it.
That's why Freddie Freeman tried to hit a single and ended up hitting the grand slam.
That's right, yeah. Well, that's what it is. Freddie Freeman won the World Series MVP. Judge dropped the ball. Freddie Freeman's a better player.
Listen, like, Freddie Freeman's an incredible player.
He's an incredible
Nobody's denying that. Judge is a fantastic, one of the best right fielders.
Yes.
He's a plus center fielder.
Yeah.
He made a bad play. I'm guessing Freddie Freeman, I mean, I know from his time against the Mets, he certainly never made an error against them.
Yes.
Now we can add the Yankees to that list.
Yes.
He's probably made a bad defensive play at some point in his career.
Somewhere along the line, I'm sure he has. Great player. I just happen to think Judge is the best offensive player. I think he's, if I was picking a team today, as much as I would love to have Freddie Freeman on that team, and I think people talk about Manny Machado and people talk about Bryce Harper, I think one of the biggest names you can go back on and where the Yankees made a huge mistake was Freddie Freeman. They went back and took and took Rizzo again instead of picking up Freddie Freeman in free agency. That was as big as any. Freddie Freeman is an incredible player. I was screaming to the high heavens. Freddie Freeman changes the room. Freddie Freeman brings them attitude. Freddie Freeman brings them a winner. Freddie Freeman, Freddie Freeman, Freddie Freeman. I said it a million times. I love Freddie Freeman. As great as Freddie Freeman is, I think Judge is the better offensive player. I think Judge is the best offensive player in the game.
It's not just you. It's you and everybody on earth who's not this caller.
I know.
I think Freddie Freeman would even acknowledge that.
That's
Aaron
what
Judge
I said.
Player.
I said even Freddie Freeman would say Judge is better than him.
His OPS is what, 100, 200 points higher every year?
Yes.
One trick pony. The guy, on top of being the best power hitter, he does hit you 280 plus every year.
He finished second in the batting title twice in the last 3 years. Like, come on, one trick pony. I think he called Juan Soto a one-trick pony, too. Juan Soto's a great hitter. That's not a one-trick. I have a tough time with that. Like, yeah, is he not the best defensive right fielder? I think he's actually better than people say, but clearly not a great right fielder. And on the bases, I mean, he's not overly fast, but I watched him all year at the Yankees. We've been watching him in big games since he's been playing in 2019, 2018. I don't think of him as some sort of just, you know, fool out there who can't get first to third, but is he a world-class base runner? No.
Yeah, well, one-trick pony, at least to me, I think you two means, like, you are incompetent at these other parts of the game, not just your average, you know, whatever.
Luis Arraez is a one-trick pony, right? Luis Arraez is a singles hitter who's very good at singles and extra, you know, some doubles.
And he's not just an average defender. He is a poor defender.
He's a poor defender. He's not very fast. He doesn't do anything else for your team. If he is not hitting 330, there is no point to him. Like, that's not Judge. If Judge doesn't hit 50 home runs, he's still going to hit 310. He's still going to have an on-base percentage of 450. Like, he's not a one-trick pony. Same thing with Soto. Soto doesn't have to hit 40 home runs to be a great offensive player. And Judge is also a gold glove caliber right fielder.
You want to have some fun? I looked up their numbers, and this is even worse for Freeman than I thought.
Yeah.
So Freddie Freeman's career OPS, and granted, he's had some great seasons that are higher than this. His career OPS in the regular season is .899.
Mm-hmm.
How many seasons, throw out 2016 when Judge only played a few games.
Right.
How many seasons in Aaron Judge's career does he have an OPS under .899?
I don't know if he has one, maybe.
One. Yeah, the short season in 2020 where he also got hurt.
Yeah.
So if you want to count that, fine. Yeah. Every other season that he's played.
Above.
.916 plus.
Right.
And four of the half of them over 1,000.
Yeah. And his average is over 1,000.
And Freddie Freeman did the over 1,000 OPS once.
Yeah. No. Judge is the better offensive player. Freddie Freeman's great. Judge is the best. That's all. Mookie Betts is great. And for a time, I think for a time prior to 22, you had a very good argument, if not a winning argument, for Mookie Betts. The last 3 years have changed things. Even 23, where he was hurt, his OPS was above 1,000 and he didn't have a great year. For the last 3 seasons, Judge has separated himself as the best hitter in baseball. That's just the way it is. Now, he hasn't done it in the postseason, and if you want to take that view of the greats do it in the postseason so he can't be great, I mean, I think you're faulty in your thinking, but I can't manage an argument with you because he hasn't been good in the postseason. And if you're just going to stand on that belief that you have, that you have to be great in the postseason, otherwise you can't be considered the best hitter, I mean, he won't be a Yankee great. He won't be beloved like Derek Jeter. He won't be beloved like Bernie Williams. He won't be beloved like Paul O'Neill. Because as great as he is, you have to win championships. You have to perform in the big moment to be loved, admired, hero. But flat out just best, I don't think you have to do it in the postseason to be considered. Over the 162 is baseball. Baseball's 162. If you want to, and you can't, even his success doesn't guarantee them championships. Like, it's not football. Quarterbacks are judged differently, right or wrong. Obviously, individual sport players, golfers, tennis players, they're judged on championships to be the best. It's you versus the other person. Judge can have an unbelievable postseason and still lose. Like, would you rather have Giancarlo Stanton on your team? Would you rather have Aaron Judge? One's a great postseason player. One has not been. Like, to me, Judge is the best offensive player over 162. That's baseball. That will always be baseball to me. But he won't be a hero. He won't be a legend. He won't be remembered with such revere the way Paul O'Neill is, the way Bernie Williams is, the way Derek Jeter is, the way Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada, you go through all of them who have all these multiple championships and big moments and big home runs and walk-off home runs, Tino Martinez, all that. He won't be one of those. I think Don Mattingly is probably the last era after the Yankee dynasty. I don't know if you can still be Don Mattingly anymore. I don't know if Don Mattingly exists. Because the Yankees spend too much money. There's too many teams in the playoffs. The expectations are too high after the dynasty. You'll never be forgiven for being the best player on a team that doesn't make the World Series, win the World Series. I think Don's the last one that'll get away with it. From this point moving forward, you have to win or you won't be the guy. But I'm sorry, when I look at the best hitters in baseball, I look at the 162 and I look at what they do over those 162. And there's no question, Aaron Judge is the best offensive player.
If you let that guy talk for longer, whatever day that day was,
yeah,
he might have told you if a single is harder than a home run, yeah, that Luis Arraez is the best player in baseball.
Right, no,
all these teams are idiots.
I mean, I hung up on him because I couldn't take it, but then I said, so I guess Pete Rose, because then he was giving me total hits and all this stuff. Like, Pete Rose is the greatest baseball player who ever lived. Pete Rose is better than Ted Williams. Pete Rose is better than Barry Bonds. Pete Rose is better than Babe Ruth because he had more hits than anybody. And God knows that's the hardest thing to do. It's crazy. Just doesn't make any sense. But that's when I lost it. I was kind of just like, I can't do this anymore. I was like, what do you do with that? What do you even say to someone who says singles are tougher than home runs? Take more skill. That's what he said.
Jameis Winston is better than Patrick Mahomes. Go.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Same argument. All right, let's get back to the calls. Enough of that. Pat in Greenwich. What's up, Pat?
Hey, C-Max.
What's up, buddy?
Thanks for taking... No, not much. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Thanks for making it.
So, yeah, the St. John's thing, I agree with you on a couple of points.
Sure.
Definitely is going to leave a bad taste in the mouth for an extended period.
Yes.
I think I'm a basketball, college basketball fan, not necessarily a St. John's fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I even felt, like, emotionally invested in this team. They just, yes, like, were easy to like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think in hindsight, where I was saying, like, oh, they might, you know, they should get considered for a one seed. I can remember in the Big East tournament when they had that run in the final, I think they made like 8 or 9 shots in a row. And I was like, oh, they're saying these guys can't shoot. But like all their flaws were exposed yesterday. And I think if they were reseeding it today, I think they're like a 3 or a 4 seed. And I think that's supported by the Big East showing. You know, yeah, you had Creighton knocked out, Marquette knocked out.
Yeah, Marquette had a terrible showing. You know, UConn, the two-time defending champs, UConn, they won the first round,
absolutely,
and then they played really well against Florida.
That was the big thing that stuck out today is I think Pitino really lost the game yesterday when he didn't get Walter Clayton Jr., you know, to join him from Iona.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is like a difference maker that has all the things that St. John's is lacking. Ability to create his own shot.
Well, I mean, they don't have any shooters. I mean, and thank you for the call, Pat. They don't have anybody to put the ball in that. They just don't have any shooters. And that's what we feared. Like, the exact thing we feared. Now, I thought they were poor defensively, too, especially in the first 7 or 8 minutes of the second half where they just allowed Arkansas to get to the basket at almost that will. But we feared that they were not a good three-point shooting team and they were not a good foul shooting team. That's exactly what we feared. We feared that that would come up to bite them in the tournament that is built on, you know, you got to hit your shots. It's a hit-or-miss league. It's a hit-or-miss tournament. And they just didn't have enough hits. They didn't have enough makes. I mean, there's other reasons. Right? Because they've won games shooting poorly. I don't know how many games they won this year shooting 9% from three. Now, I know Arkansas only shot 10.5%, but still 9.1% from three. I don't know how many games they won shooting that poorly. 28% from the field. They're 21 of 75. 21 of 75. That's hard to do. They couldn't make layups. It was unbelievable. Tip-ins, layups, easy jump. Like, they just didn't hit a damn thing. It's tough to win those games. Really tough to win those games. And, again, my point isn't, like, I'm not saying that you can't think St. John's had a good... This is the year that put St. John's on the map, but they were... Let's not sugarcoat it. They were a two seed. This is not a... This is a game they're expected to win. Arkansas is now the highest seed left in the tournament. All other twos are in there. No other high seed is left. That's it. The 10 Arkansas Razorbacks are the highest seed in the Sweet 16. This was a two seed that had a chance to... that went through the Big East like a hot knife through butter, right? And had an opportunity to really do something special here. Like, that, it's still a wasted opportunity no matter how you look at it. You can call the season great. You can call it a building block, which I can't understand. You can call it whatever you want. The year St. John's was put back on the map, all of it. What you also have to call it is a wasted opportunity. And that's at the forefront of my mind this morning. When that game ended, that was my thought. Not, wow, what a great year. Wow, look what they accomplished. Wow, St. John's is back. My thought was, wow, what a wasted opportunity. What a wasted opportunity. And, you know, Ralph can tell you all day long they couldn't beat Duke. Duke's playing great right now. The first two games, they've been, you know, incredible. What they did yesterday, I mean, they just dominated Baylor. Dominated. And right now, they look like the best team in the country. They look like a team destined to win this tournament. But who knows? Anything could happen. Cooper Flagg has an ankle. He got poked in the eye. I don't know. Crazier things have happened. You can't lose on the first weekend. Not as a two seed. Not if you want to call it a successful year. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how many years it's been since you've been in that position. I don't care what the prospects of the future look like. I don't care. I really don't care. Plain and simple. On Thursday, the tournament started. They were a two seed. That's it. That's as far back as my memory goes today. Today. Monday, the day after. The weekend, the Monday after the weekend, like today, from the minute that game ended to today, all my memory goes back to is Thursday. That's it. That's when all this started, Thursday. And on Saturday, they had a deflating loss, arguably the worst loss of the tournament. They shot 9% from three. They didn't defend, and the coach left the Big East Player of the Year on the bench as they wasted away in the final 5 minutes of the game. That's hard for me to think of anything else. You want to talk about the greatness of this year? By all means, you do you. You do you. In a few weeks, I'll join you. Certainly as we start to get ready for next season, I'll join you. I think Rick Pitino is a great coach, despite disagreeing with him on how he handled the end of the game. They should have got the ball to Ejiofor more, and they should have played R.J. Lewis the entire game, and they should have won the game. But, like, I still think he's a great coach, despite disagreeing with him. I still think the future is extremely bright. I think he's excellent at this, and I think next year's team, while different, hopefully will have some more shooters and be more dangerous and be in a better position to win the whole damn thing. I don't know, though. I don't know if they'll be a two seed. I don't know if they'll be in this kind of position. I don't know if this group will come together the way this group came together. I don't know. I don't know if they'll put together the longest winning streaks we've seen since the mid-80s. I don't know. That's what this team did. That's what this team did. This team went on those winning streaks. This team only had four losses. This team was the top six team in the country. This team was a two seed in the tournament. This team. This team. This team was good enough to win the whole damn thing. Or at least we thought so heading in. This was a massive disappointment. This was a massive wasted opportunity. And eventually I'll get past that, but it ain't going to be today.